First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Taking these things as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you can never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next, postwrestling.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever podcast app you're using, and we are live
on twitch.tv/upnextpodcast and youtube.com/upnext.
Yes, hit that nice subscribe button, hit that download button, hit that whatever button on the podcast, and if you're listening or watching on the replay on the YouTube, that's up there too. There's so many different ways you can take us in.
Listen and enjoy us.
Welcome us.
Watch us. You can hear us in your ears.
You can be in your car, your home, your shower. Yeah. You could have picked any wrestling podcast and you're here with us today. We appreciate it.
Congratulations, guys. You made the right choice.
It's Tuesday night, so we watched NXT and we're going to talk about it because Braden and Davey are your NXT friends.
Friends.
And we'll always be your NXT friends, even when it's NXT 3.0.
Yeah, black and orange and white.
Where it all begins again.
Yes.
With fall colors.
You'll never see it coming.
I like how, now you're just naming WrestleMania. they decided, hey, there's going to be some changes. There's two tape shows. Mm-hmm. We're going to come back live and be completely different. And then now it's just orange, white, and yellow.
I do prefer the logo. I prefer the colors. I think having, like, I like, you know, branding. Raw is red.
Yeah.
SmackDown is blue. NXT is yellow. Some orange.
Like a little orange. Fall time.
I just wish they dim the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think when you've got this studio audience, you don't need to light up the fact. Because the NXT crowd can be pretty loud and vocal, and I think when they're like a little dimmer and the focus is on the ring, I personally prefer it. When you're in a sold out stadium,
sure,
light them up. We're in a studio in a warehouse here.
Yeah.
So it's still got that bright feeling, which I've just never liked with this 2.0. But I think the logo looks cleaner. I think the graphics when they're showing matches coming up, it feels a bit more like the old NXT in that way.
Yeah, it's less Nickelodeon, less uh-oh. It's more just like a normal, like a few different colors. Like it looks kind of a bit normal. Maybe like my ADHD couldn't handle all the crazy colors and splattering and stuff. It's still, maybe the orange is there because it's like Halloween Havoc is coming up and they're doing all that. So it makes sense. The autumn time, the fall time. It works for it. But yeah, we'll jump into some NXT. I mean, speaking of spooky season, we've been watching a ton of spooky movies because we have a bunch of spooky movies reviews coming out this month on the Patreon and on this feed too. We should say that you may or may not have heard, but Patreon basically made some changes to their subscription services, which is a good thing, which I think they should have done quite a
About
long
time
ago.
Really, yeah.
We've been using Patreon for like 3 years and finally they switch this. So basically it's like your phone bill or any kind of bill. Whenever you start is when
the new month
will start. So I mean, it still is a good time to start around the beginning of the month. But now it's always a good time. This is one of our lowest Patreon months kicking off. So guys, patreon.com/upnext. $5 for North American tier. We'll just turn the lights off. We'll just go home. We'll pack it in. That's it. If you don't want to hear the spooky movie reviews.
But I think it's one of our most fun
packed months
we've got coming up. We've got a lot of shows. Starting with our, we've already dropped an episode of Was Next, talking about the November 6th, 2013 edition of NXT.
Yeah, Chris Hero, Brody Lee.
Yeah, it may not be a spooky episode, but we do talk about a curse in that show.
It's true. There's a curse.
We're following up with our review from last week. We reviewed Hocus Pocus from 1993.
Yes.
But we just watched the sequel, just dropped on Disney Plus, Hocus Pocus 2.
Biggest Disney movie premiere that they've had, I guess, because it wasn't in theaters. But yeah, we chat both Hocus Pocus and Hocus Pocus 2. That'll be dropping this weekend as well. But this whole month is stacked. We have a...
best match ever.
Oh, man.
Karen Peterson. We're recording this tomorrow. It's going to be a hell of a show.
Yeah, I'm super excited about this one. So, I mean, if you listen to us, we do the show Best Match Ever, where we go through... usually we pick a person and, you know, stuff like that. We recently did a Rey Mysterio in WWE-only matches. Mm-hmm. And there's a wrestler that I... definitely love, my all-time favorite if you've listened, Io Shirai, now known as Io Sky. And since she's getting that main roster rub, we decided it's time we take a look back at some of the matches maybe we're not so familiar with. And we're not even talking NXT because we watched all of that and we loved it. But we're going to be joined by Karen Peterson, and she has created this list of the best Io Shirai matches from Stardom and some other places as well before she left for WWE. And I watched these matches yesterday and today, and I am super excited. Because if you thought Io Shirai got me high before, wait till you hear this show. But you should also check out the matches because you posted them on our Patreon as well.
They're all available on the Patreon to look at with links. We're talking about some examples. Io Shirai versus Meiko Satomura. Io Shirai versus Kairi. Io versus Toni Storm. Mayu Iwatani. So many. Momo Watanabe.
Yeah.
So many big, big matches there. I'm about halfway through the list and I'm loving the selections Karen has made for us so far.
Yeah, we may even discuss Penta versus Io Shirai from Lucha Underground. Mm. 5 stars. We'll be chatting all about that tomorrow, and that'll be out this week as well. So, best match ever, Io Shirai. But yeah, $5 for North American tier gets you these shows coming out this week and everything else coming out this month, including a review of Halloween Havoc 1997. We're going to be reviewing The Omen. We're going to be doing a bunch of shows this week. But the schedule's up on the Facebook group and the Twitter at Up Next Podcast. $5, guys. One show. You get one show and you get $5. And you go, that was worth $5. But then you get hundreds more.
Over 450 shows.
Back catalog. Yeah. Support your boys. And you want to support your boys. If you're in the Toronto area and you're going to Dynamite next week, well, come hang out with the BDE, because we're going to be doing a Dynamite after party at Sneaky D's in Toronto. We're going to attempt wrestling karaoke. We're going to have wrestling-themed drinks. We're going to have a whole party. There's going to be some great nachos. And now we are working with these guys called the Handshaking Team, who have offered to kind of sponsor and give out some prizes and some pretty sweet like merch and some cool stuff that we'll be doing. So we think we're going to be doing some trivia as well.
Yeah, these guys seem great. We've been talking to them the last like week or so, trying to make this event even bigger.
Yeah.
So it's not going to cost you a thing to come there. It's at Sneaky D's. It's a bit of a famous Toronto establishment. You can get the streetcar right up
Bathurst.
From the venue. Just Boom. Take Bathurst all the way up. Or an Uber if there's a group of you.
Yeah.
It's not going to cost much, between 3 or 4 of you. You can get there, yeah, and join us for the after party after Dynamite. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, I reckon people will get out of Dynamite around, you know, 10:15, 10:30.
Yeah,
you know,
we Tony don't have Khan, the Rampage tape.
Yeah, there's no Rampage. So, you know, Tony Khan will definitely come out and say, thanks for coming. I love you,
Miss
Canada.
Danhausen.
Yeah, and hug everyone. And then we'll leave, and then we'll go to Sneaky D's and have a party. So.
Yeah.
We would love to see you there. Again, follow the socials for that, and shout out THT because those guys are great, and we're excited to have a fun time. We will be doing something before the show, but we kind of didn't really land a BART, and there's a few near the venue. So again, I will say, if you are going for the show and you are looking to party with us before and after the show, you know where to find us, and we will be posting on the socials. There's a few different bars. I'm thinking Brazenhead or
Brazenhead local. Yeah, I think we're going to...
I think there's a Starbucks around there we could check out.
Probably do a bit of a maybe a little crawl in our area, and then probably around 5 o'clock we'll be at one of the bars near the venue. So come and hang out and say hello.
Yeah, definitely. We're looking forward to seeing anybody, especially anybody who's excited to go to AEW's first Canadian show. We're going to both shows.
Yep, we'll be around for Rampage as well. So plenty of chances to hang out, and don't be shy. We'd love to see as many of you as possible.
Yeah, for sure. Again, at the Brady, at Davey Portman, Twitter, Instagram, and then at UPNXT podcast on Twitter for all the updates of where we will be and having fun and all that stuff. And I'm sure we'll bump into John and Wei on the way. Although Wei's not going to the show, I don't think, but we'll still say what up to Wei.
We've got some other up next, Bert's involved as well. John Cena is going to be there.
Yeah. Brandon
from New Jersey is going to be there.
Brandon from New Jersey, is he allowed in this country?
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
Be Detroit is going to be around.
Yeah. Someone won't be around next week for that show, but he will be around tomorrow night. I'm not going to be here for BD Elite, but taking my spot will be live in-house our friend Dickie Bird, who will be joining you to talk all about tomorrow night's 2 hour plus 15 minute edition.
Yeah,
of Dynamite.
I hear the last 15 minutes is going to be a sit down between Sammy Guevara and Andrade.
Damn.
To find out who is the biggest jobber of the two.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Just Twitter fingers. Come on.
Embarrassing.
It has to be
just,
a word,
just
right?
Talk to each other in person.
Why? Though. Who talks like that on
Tony
Twitter?
Khan, you've got like...
That's it. Put your foot down.
You've let the inmates run the asylum.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
Very strange that I did see that today. I was like, huh, okay. Imagine people, like, that's one way to start a feud, but that just seems so out of pocket. Specifically Sammy Guevara, but both, really. Just everyone looks bad doing that kind of stuff. What happened to the good old days? You don't like someone? Punch him in the face.
Punch him in the face. Yeah, yeah. Have a brawl.
Sammy looks like the kind of guy, if you punched him, he'd call the cops.
I feel like I could beat Sammy Guevara.
I don't know if you want to make that challenge. He would probably kick your ass.
No, all I'll do is I'll be like, oh, there's something high there. I'm going to lie on this table.
Yeah,
he wouldn't be able to help himself.
He would have to do
he'll
the
go 6:30. Up and kiss his hot wife and go, oh, I'm crazy, I'm loco.
Yeah.
And then I'll just do the Samoa Joe and like walk out the way. Win.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, you don't think I could beat Sammy Guevara?
I don't know. He's a wrestler. He's like, you're not a wrestler. I think you could win.
No, I think I'd fuck up Sammy Guevara.
I don't know, man. I'm saying Andrade would fuck up Sammy Guevara.
Andrade, 100%.
Yeah, that backswinging elbow, he'll bring it back out from the dead.
The other day, Eric Marcotte said, like, he thinks you'd beat me in a fight.
Oh, yeah, hands down. And then everyone in the group agreed with it.
I completely disagree.
They all said it's because they seen me in, like, demon hours, like, goblin mode, when I'm, like, had too many.
Yeah, I've seen you try to climb a fence.
I've never seen you. None of us are, like, fighters. We would never, you know, start fights with people.
We almost fought a cyclist again. The other day.
We did! Oh, this guy's
you
trying
know
to
the
get
Toronto versus everybody shirt? Oh. I need a Davey versus cyclist.
We'll get to NXT, I swear, but okay, no. We're walking on the street, and like you've heard us. We hate cyclists and those guys who ride on the street, like on the sidewalk, ride on the street, especially in the stupid scooters. But this guy's on an electric moped thing, and he goes, hey guys, I'm trying to get through. And we're like, yo, there's a road. So you go, yeah, there's a road. That's where you should ride. And he goes, well, there's traffic. And you're like, yeah, but that's the road.
You're part of traffic.
Yeah, you are part
traffic.
Of traffic.
You Cars
are traffic.
Cars aren't going.
You're on a motorized bike.
Oh, I better go on the sidewalk because there's traffic. Scooter. And that's the choice you made.
So, like, you eventually, like, give him room and, like, he goes through. But then he goes, excuse me? Like, he was already going, though, but he's, like, trying to talk tough while he's already riding off. And he was like, excuse me? And then he's like, fuck you, bud. And you went, oh, come on. And I went, bro, you're old. Get a car. And that's when he's like, what? And then we're
like,
go.
He's like, mind your own fucking business. Right? You are my business. You try to drive past me.
When you tell them to get a car, that's when they're like, that's it. They get so
fucking
angry.
Loser.
But like, fuck. We have no, like, ride it where you're supposed to. That's all. Like, you know, I ride my bike. I ride it on the road. It's okay.
You know what I didn't do about it?
What? You didn't fight him?
I didn't tweet him.
Yeah, at cyclist.
At cyclist in Toronto.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah. You only got that bike because of your dad, your father-in-law.
Now you're making it personal. Well, we'll get into some NXT. I did see there was some other stuff, like WWE getting like some writer that was like working for Marvel or something.
Interesting enough, yeah, but the title is like head of long-term storytelling. So they've got one of the Marvel writers, I think, wrote for Daredevil?
Okay. Sorry. Oh, nice.
But yeah, hopefully keeping an eye on some, you know, long-term storytelling.
Yeah.
Realizing that people, I mean, you see this White Rabbit stuff that's going on. And now, oh, believe it or not, wrestling fans aren't idiots. They can, you know, do a bit of research and they do have a memory of more than 2 weeks and that kind of thing. So I think it's a good move. Hopefully it means the quality of storytelling and hopefully like a Triple H will actually let these people, because I'm sure they've hired fantastic writers in the past.
Sure,
but you can only
Vince Russo.
But I mean, you're only as good as Vince at the end of the day, weren't you?
Sure. Yeah,
you'd end up changing it and doing whatever he wants. So I think this is a good move and kind of interesting. Will we see the quality improve?
Well, is it not the same like Kevin Feige, who did like a lot of the like overlooking like different things, or like someone who did, I guess, not such a good job with the DC movies, but like there's always people who like, or like who does Star Wars now for the shows.
Yeah.
Our boy, John Favreau. Yeah.
Dave
like,
Filoni.
Like they just like go, why don't you do this?
Where do we want to be in 6 months?
Yeah.
Time?
Where are we going
okay.
with this?
Okay. How can we write a story that peaks in 6 months time?
Yeah.
That's kind of, and obviously wrestling's difficult because you're going to get injuries and stuff like that, which you don't necessarily get as much with a TV show or a movie or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is how it should be. I think the golden era of NXT we loved because it was taped and because they were able to tell those longer storylines, because you'd shoot a whole like 2 months worth of stories in 2 days, you know? So
right.
I think I'm interested in it for sure.
And this guy was, I think I was reading on Fightful today that this guy, there was rumors of he wanted to do a Fiend movie,
okay.
like a Bray Wyatt Fiend movie. So, I mean, if they're bringing him in, you would assume he's going to be working on something with the Fiend again,
yeah.
possibly, maybe.
There's just trying to get the guy's name.
Yeah.
Rob Fee? Rob Fee, director of Long Term Creative.
Shout out Rob Fee. Let's see what happens.
Penning comics for Spider-Man, Daredevil, and the Avengers.
Like, I'm not saying wrestling and comics are the same, and you could argue there's a lot of differences, but at the same time, there are...
Axiom told me otherwise today.
There are, like, I got into wrestling because I loved comics when I was really young. So, I mean, there is definitely... wrestling to me is almost like comic books come to life, except there's a lot more, like... stupidity in it sometimes.
And apparently Fee has been working on the production of the White Rabbit stuff.
There you go. So that's probably where yeah. that is all coming out. So do we see the White Rabbit quickly? Extreme Rules 2022 this weekend. Do we see the White Rabbit debut? Do we see it mention Bray Wyatt? Do we see it mention whatever's going on? It's really cool that they've done this whole like marketing campaign. It's definitely something.
Yeah, I think it's awesome.
Looks a lot better than a lot of the other stuff they've done. We've mentioned last week, like it's similar to like the Y2J Save Us stuff. Mm. Like it's definitely outside the box of what we've seen from them. But does the White Rabbit or whatever it is show up, or do they show up on Halloween,
Ooh.
Monday Night Raw?
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah.
I think Extreme Rules is probably
yeah.
the best place, but where? Like kind of what match do you see him?
Yeah, the only one I could picture is Drew and Karrion Kross, where maybe Karrion beats Drew and then that's when he comes out. And maybe you think he's attacking Kross, but maybe he aligns himself.
Perhaps.
Or Kross drew the match in some way, something yeah. like that. I don't know. Yeah.
Takes out Daniel Cormier
yeah.
in the fight pit.
Exactly. Yeah, that sounds great. We've watched both fight pits, and you could definitely go back through the archives of when we've covered those in NXT. So Riddle and Seth Rollins will definitely put on. I love that Daniel Cormier says Seth Rollins is his favorite wrestler.
Yeah, he's been saying that for a long
time. I don't know anyone
31.
Else who says that. No disrespect to Seth, but is he your favorite?
I'd say around 30, like around WrestleMania yeah. 31, he was definitely like my favorite in the company.
Right.
I'd say.
Best of all time?
Now,
Seth Rollins. He's had a great year. I'll give him that for sure. I'm sorry. He has had a great year. And I'm excited about that match. Who do you think is winning that match? Rollins or Matt Riddle?
I think Riddle's going to win.
I think so too, yeah.
Rollins won the first one, right?
Exactly.
I think then you establish... If Riddle's someone you're looking to have in this company for a long time...
Yeah.
I think you then establish that match with him. Fight Pit's his match.
Okay, can you please explain to me what a good old-fashioned Donnybrook is?
It's a fucking brawl, isn't it?
It's a fight. Not in a pit?
We just had a Donnybrook match on...
I feel like we did.
On Donnybrook. SmackDown, didn't we?
Donnybrook. Then there's an I Quit match. I think Edge will get his win back. Or no, maybe Finn Balor, Dominic helps him in some way.
It's the I Quit.
Yeah.
Edge versus Finn. I think that'll be really good.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see Judgment Day is finally like... kind of working,
yeah.
I feel, and Balor kind of on the rise up against a real like main eventer in Edge. This is an I Quit match. Did you see Edge's promo from last night?
No, I didn't.
It was like a shot at home promo he sent in. It was fantastic.
Cool.
Really good, and made me like more interested for this match for sure.
And then Damage Control will be in the corner with Bayley, who's got a ladder match with Bianca for the title. It would be cool if Bayley won, but I think Bianca's on pretty good run from what I've watched.
Bianca's definitely on fire.
Yeah.
I think they did end the show last night with kind of all three of Damage Control holding up the titles, and it is a good image to have. And you could, like, Bianca's had quite a run with it
yeah.
and always, like, get it back on her. So I could see them going with Bayley, perhaps.
I like the new Damage Control t-shirt. Looks really cool. Like with the three
of them. Control.
Yeah, some button. Looks nice. Yeah, okay. Oh, and Liv and Ronda Rousey, but don't really care about that.
That's Extreme Rules, right?
That's an Extreme Rules match. Gotcha.
I think Ronda's taking that back now.
Yeah, do it. Sure, why not?
Yeah. Is that the card?
Yeah, that was it.
I think it sounds interesting to me. I'm definitely interested in that Fight Pit match. I think Bianca's just been having like great matches with Sasha and Becky over the last year. I think Bayley, seeing her in that main event, the kind of spot again, I'd love to see that. And Finn versus Edge. I'm pretty looking forward to Extreme Rules this year.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check it out for sure. We will be doing a Halloween Havoc post show on the 22nd of October. They announced it after you had already made some plans. So I reached out to Andrew Thompson from postwrestling.com. Every time me and Andrew chop it up, it's a fun time. So he will be joining me for that show in a few weeks as well. So we'll be live after Halloween Havoc.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've got, some friends from the UK are visiting, and it seems a bit mean on the Saturday to be like, sorry, guys, I know you
watch Bron Breakker.
I know you bought these flights and came over, but yeah, I'm going to watch Bron.
You have to. You couldn't miss Braun. But we will be joined. Yeah, that'll be a fun time too. But follow us, all that stuff. We appreciate you listening. And maybe we'll talk about some NXT right now.
Let's do it. Rest in peace, Antonio Inoki.
Oh, man. Yeah, we learned the news. We were watching SmackDown pre-gaming on Friday. We had Dickie, our friend of ours, joining us. We had Eric Marcotte joining us. We had Scorpio Sam. We had everyone out, and we got a little too silly on Friday night, but we learned of this news about Antonio Inoki, so we kept putting our chins out, like, acting like we had the big chin like Antonio Inoki. Legend, RIP.
I did see you post it, but the
Bill Burr
commentary.
Oh my god, if you've not watched this.
Great Antonio, was it? The big guy, what's his name?
Oh, I can't remember now, just the big fat guy.
Bill Burr.
Awesome. Yeah, it's so good. I've watched that video a million times, but now it means even something he just... Jericho reposted it saying, like, this is my favorite. Yeah, it's so good. Rip Antonio Inoki.
Well, let's get into it. NXT, no longer 2.9.
Yeah,
NXT,
I guess not.
From October the 4th, from the Capitol Wrestling Center. And we start just with Wade Barrett, who says that Vic Joseph is stuck at immigration and thanks the immigration officers for keeping him there.
Wait, Vic wasn't here? Then who was the guy next to Wade?
That was a child. Wade then introduces, I don't know, bring your kid to work day.
No disrespect to this guy, this kid, because he sounded kind of like Vic Joseph the whole show, and he didn't like do anything bad. I thought he was pretty good. But when they did cut to him, I did think it was a child.
Sudu Shah. He's been calling NXT
before.
Level Up.
Yeah, yeah.
But it might be my imagination, but wasn't he wearing a suit?
Suit was too big for him. His suit was too big for him. That's it. That's all I'm saying. I'm trying to make sure this guy knows we're not shitting on him, because I actually thought he was all right.
Yeah, credit.
But he had a bigger suit than his body.
I think credit to this guy. You listened to the show and it wasn't jarring at all. There's definitely a WWE
type
commentary voice now.
Yeah.
And I do think they're very interchangeable. He's very much got that style down, but I thought he did a pretty good job and didn't seem out of place. Just whenever you saw the commentary booths, you're like,
it's like Little Rascals.
It reminded me when I went to Access and you got to call a match with Vic Joseph.
Yeah.
It felt like that. Wow. You'd see these like kids go up
next to him. He kind of looks like Vic Joseph, but maybe it's just because I'm used to seeing Wade next to Vic Joseph. So that's why I was like, is this guy Vic Joseph?
Well, Wade's a big guy as well.
Yeah,
Vic's tall. Isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. And then Byron Saxton.
And then Byron, and this was just proof that this CWC audience will go apeshit. We saw it with Natalia.
Yeah.
We saw it with Dolph Ziggler. We saw it with Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. Well, Byron Saxton got that treatment again because they lost their goddamn minds.
Wouldn't
this
you?
Guy.
Byron Saxton
it's
came
Byron,
out.
He's back.
Yeah. So great
NXT original. Yeah.
NXT original Byron. Remember his finishing move?
No.
It was really bad. Wasn't it like, yeah, it was bad. Yeah, this is all because Vic is away with Mackenzie because they're on their honeymoon.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, shout out Mackenzie and Vic. Shout out Vic.
Yeah, shout out Vic.
Vic Joseph.
Well, shout out Pretty Deadly, who come out dressed in kind of traditional, like, restoration style England costumes. They've got the big wigs, they've got the makeup with the beauty spots on, wearing kind of like Queen's Guard red attire.
It's the State of the Commonwealth address.
Yes.
So they're dressed like princes, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, one of them is named Prince, I mean.
Yeah, they're dressed, yeah, like, yeah.
So which one, yeah, which one's Charles, which one's Andrew?
So Kid announces Elton Prince. He calls him an OBE.
What's an OBE?
It's like one of the knighthoods you get.
Okay.
There's an OBE, an MBE. OBE is lower than MBE, I believe.
OBE?
Yeah.
NBE?
OBE, MBE.
You know what's above both of those?
Knighthood.
BDE.
Yeah.
That's what they need. I think they have BDE.
Okay, CBE, OBE, and MBE.
What?
Order of the British Empire.
Okay.
And then MBE is most excellent order, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to get up. Yeah.
They look
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, MBE is the top. So OBE is like in the middle. Yeah. And then Elton Prince introduces Kit Wilson as Vicomte Sir Kit Wilson.
There's a lot of things going over my head on this segment.
Yeah. They are banging the gavel a lot.
Okay,
not
I got
a euphemism.
That.
Their little hammer again. Not a euphemism.
That was last week's vignette.
They're yelling order, and they say first order. Do we look delicious? Because yes, we are the two tastiest snacks in NXT. Nay, the whole of WWE with the tastiest snacks.
It's true. It's true.
And once upon a time, brave pilgrims made the journey from the United Kingdom to the United States. And fast forward, I like how they just said a few years.
A few years ago.
fast forward a few years, and we made the same trip to make it a better place. We are your two-time tag team champions. There is a wide and vast search for new number one contenders, but wherefore art thou? The problem is, we've already beaten everyone. Briggs and Jensen may have won last week, but we have their number, and it's 1-800-UGLY.
They say they called them Ugly Denim.
Ugly Denim. Idris and Malik, well, one keeps his shirt off all the time, and the other needs to take it off.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Take it off.
The Boring Brothers, well, Damon Kemp has shut the door on them forever. And then they make fun of the Dyad and the Schism and be like, I don't know what to call you.
They're like, we don't even want to talk about those guys because they're scared of them.
order. I decree that for the NXT Commonwealth that your two-time tag team champions, Pretty Deadly, should be awarded the tag team championships forever and ever. And that's when the Brawling Brutes music hits.
Whoa.
Byron laid this bombshell on Raw last night that him and the Brawling Brutes would be at NXT. Well, they come out. There's chance of Bruiserweight.
That's right. We got
some crowd will not let Butch forget who he was.
That's right. I mean, call him Butch, but to me, he's still Pete Dunne, NXT original. And same with don't call him Fridge, Ridge Holland.
I think they are calling him Ridge the Fridge.
Ridge the dude. We call him that because he is a fridge.
Forever.
Look at him. He's a fridge. I forgot about that guy. I was like, oh yeah, he is in this team. I love that these guys came back. I do like me some Pete Dunne and. Pete Dunne, who's more of like the serious, you know, always kind of wants, I guess Butch is, he's a dog, right? He wants to fight and bite people, but you know, he was going to talk some shit to these guys when they're dressed like this now.
Oh, absolutely. So, Fridge starts by saying you've been talking shit about Sheamus on social media, basically. So me and the Bruiser are here tonight to see how tough you really are face to face. And Butch says, is there any objection to kicking these two Muppets' heads in? And Pretty Deadly are then like backtracking and saying, no, we were hacked.
We were hacked.
It was Kevin Nash. No, it was Kevin Patrick. It was Kevin Owens. And they say, you like dressing up and saying how tough you are, but we just want you to prove it. They get in the ring and kind of chase Pretty Deadly out of the ring. To end the segment as we kind of seamlessly move into the next segment with Mello and Trick making their entrance.
But
what did you think of the state of the Commonwealth?
I think they could have drove it in a bit more. Last week's video was just the best thing that they've done. It was just so funny and just gives you like an insight of like what they're doing with these characters. So over the top. This felt like it was almost like a step back. I think they could have talked more shit, really. They just said, we came over here and took over the country. It's like, all right, well, like you didn't really make digs. Calling, you know, Briggs and Denson ugly denim, it wasn't enough to like, and I know that these guys are definitely more capable of the trash talking, but I think I was expecting something a bit more, especially like because of the queen and the royalty and all the news in the past while. I think there was a way to maybe bring that to the forefront without being disrespectful like I kind of was. But like, just like, there's something wasn't clicking the way I've envisioned this.
I know what you mean. I think last week's was a real home run.
Yeah.
That video they did.
Yeah.
And this felt, I was getting like, remember the old day, that kind of thing they did. That awful sandwich.
Right.
I was getting kind of when New Day are dressing up being dumb and it just doesn't really click. And we're like, you guys are funny, but this isn't really working for me. I don't know how they could have made it work, but I don't know. It was just a bit, especially because I felt the placement of it on this show where it felt like, you know, we're in our heads going, all right, it's kind of the new era of NXT is starting today. And we got two guys in wigs making bad jokes. And it was like,
yeah,
all right, it's still kind of kiddie sports entertainment.
But then Pete Dunne came back, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was kind of looking forward to the match they set up.
Yeah.
I thought, absolutely. So it is announced that later in the night, the main event is going to be for the NXT Tag Team titles.
Yeah, which sounds good.
The Brawling Brutes taking on Pretty Deadly. We see earlier today from the... NXT car park, the most dangerous place in the world.
Yeah, who's the kid filling in for Vic Joseph?
Sudu Shah.
He says on commentary, oh, the NXT parking lot, the most dangerous place in NXT. And then the segment starts, and then there's an attack. And we're yelling at the TV like, this guy knows that.
Yeah.
He's not on TV every week. Toxic Attraction, you guys are there every week. Where are you supposed to park? Uber.
You still got to park somewhere.
Uber, get dropped off in the front of the building.
They were getting dropped off in the front of the building.
That
looked
like that was the side. That was the parking lot.
So, Toxic Attraction get out of their car and Alba Fire comes in with a baseball bat and just attacks them. I found this a bit odd.
She drove off with Mandy or something? I don't know why Mandy wasn't in the match.
She kidnapped Mandy. Okay.
It's been a while. We haven't had a kidnapping in NXT for a while.
Gotcha.
It was time.
So this has changed the main event now, which was originally just going to be a six-woman tag.
Right.
And it's now Gigi and JC taking on Zoe and Nikita Lyons in a number one contenders match.
Gotcha.
So Alba Fire actually kind of did them a favor because it was just going to be a no-stakes six-woman tag. And now she kind of got Toxic Attraction a chance at the title.
But she hit her with a bat.
Yeah.
Injured them, I guess.
And that takes us to our next match, Carmelo Hayes versus Oro Mensah. We've seen this is what, Mensah's second match in NXT?
So he's qualified for this ladder match. So is Carmelo Hayes, but they're going to have a one-on-one here. So they're both, regardless, are in the match, but this is kind of just a showcase for it.
Mensah does a step-up flip off of Melo's chest, goes for a drop kick, and Melo just sidesteps him, kind of that Samoa Joe sidestep there.
Yeah.
But then Melo looks a little dumb because he starts bouncing his imaginary basketball as he's going to go for his like springboard clothesline, and Mensah just gets up as he's doing this and drop kicks him in the face. So it looked a little silly here. Mensah then hits a nice-looking over-the-head suplex, and then a springboard plancher taking out Melo on the floor. Trick then distracts, so Melo smashes Mensah's head against the turnbuckle. And then Melo hits a super kick to the side of the head, followed by his springboard clothesline. And then Mensah drops Melo headfirst into the turnbuckle. Mensah starts getting back into it. There's clotheslines and a release German, followed by a Gammon Giri and a nice-looking lion salt.
Yeah.
Like a no-hands lion salt.
Very impressive.
Which was pretty cool here. Goes for a spin heel kick, but Melo moves, and in doing so, Mensah takes out Trick, and then Melo comes in with the code breaker, followed by the nothing but net guillotine leg drop for the win.
Yeah, I mean, we saw Mensah use this like spin kick in the corner as his finish, so basically Trick takes it, which allows the distraction for Melo to hit his move as well. pretty like quick match. I felt like it was designed just to kind of showcase Mensa again, but give Hayes the win. But in all fairness, I think if you were to just book Mensa against someone where he wins, it still would have made me think he would win the ladder match. Now he's already lost in a pretty quick fashion.
Yeah, I thought this was on the lower end of Carmelo Hayes matches.
Yeah.
I don't think Mensa's bad, but I think he's not showing anything particularly new that sure. makes him stand out. Like, the guy can do moonsaults and things, but a lot of yeah. people can do that now. So I know what you mean. I think if maybe he had more of a against one of the lower card guys and just showed off all his yeah. flashy offense and had a win, he might have a bit more steam.
Or like just have him win a match last week and then go, you know what, if you win your second match, then you're in the thing. So it's like you're still on a run because now you just cut off his
yeah,
his
I feel already. This guy doesn't have a great deal of steam.
Yeah, which instantly cuts
he's
it
very
off.
New to us. Unless you've been yeah. watching NXT UK, like he's a new character to us.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought this was okay.
Like this just makes me believe Hayes is winning it back again.
Yeah, part of me is like, I wish they just, when the title was stripped,
yeah.
I wish Shawn Michaels just went like, this match is going to be made up of people that have never been North champion. American champion.
Sure, yeah, true.
And given, like, Melo a chip on his shoulder and be an excuse to go for something bigger, whether that be the NXT title or main roster.
Yeah.
It definitely feels he's treading water a little bit now.
Well,
he's the guy in this company for
me. He could lose this ladder match just like he lost last year, right? That's how he lost the title, yeah. right, Grimes? So I feel like he could lose again and then, like, be upset by that and then still challenge for the NXT title.
Yeah.
So either way. But that was all right. Melo then joins the commentary because he's angry.
Yeah, and he, like, poor Trick. He just goes, oh, well, Trick's off getting medical attention now, so I've got nothing to do.
He took that kick yeah. to the head, yeah.
So Trick is, like, I do like how they kind of just position Trick as,
yeah.
He's just there to get kicked.
Make
in the
sure
face
I'm okay.
He's just here That's to make job. Sure I'm okay.
It's all right.
We then see Brutus Creed backstage being checked on. He's all bruised up from those chair shots last week.
From Damon Kemp.
Yeah. And he keeps insisting he's fine. And then Duke Hudson interrupts and says he wants to know what 10 chair shots look like. Julius tells him to fuck off and says he'll show him what 10 chair shots look like. But the difference is he won't stop at 10. And Duke says, oh, that's cute. The older one standing up for the dumb one. Sorry, I mean the young one. And Julius just calls him out for a match tonight. So Julius is angry and is going to take it out on Duke.
He looked very angry. Poor Duke.
I feel Duke should have learned his lesson by now.
Stop trying to start fights.
He picks fights and loses.
And loses a lot. Yeah.
We go to our next qualifying match for the North American Championship ladder match at Halloween Havoc. It's Von Wagner taking on Andre Chase.
Yeah, Andre Chase got the upset victory over Carmelo Hayes last week. So Hayes is on commentary and he's just trash talking Chase. Like, I don't want to talk about last week and all this stuff, but hopes that Chase doesn't enter the ladder match,
yeah.
which I think he should have just been added after pinning Carmelo.
Yeah.
but yeah.
Beat the former champ.
Yeah.
For sure. It's a lot of Chase at the beginning here, getting the better of Wagner. He hits a nice looking dragon screw. And then Wagner comes back with a power slam. Goes for a knee in the corner, but Chase moves out the way. I thought this looked really slow.
From Vaughn, yeah.
Yeah, like the guy had already moved and you're just floating in midair with his weak-looking knee. Chase hits his side Russian leg sweep, followed by the Chase U stomps. Stone then tries to get involved, but Thea Hale picks Mr. Stone up on her shoulders and then body slams him, which is quite impressive. There's then a roll-up from Chase after the distraction, but Wagner kicks out and hits the big boot, followed by his kind of Death Valley driver for the win.
Yeah.
Which I thought was disappointing. I think I've actually quite enjoyed Chase in the last few weeks, and I thought he'd have been quite a fun addition. You know, it's ever since he got the Jordans. When he moved from the red wrestling boots to the Jordans, he's been putting on some better matches. And
yeah,
I think he'd have been more fun in this match, but I guess they want the base of Wagner to catch people.
Big Van Vaughn strikes again. He's going to make the match a 5-star North American title classic like it we all deserve.
He's going to be Lars in this match?
He's going to be Lars in this match. 5-star Lars, never forget. Yeah. I think Andre Chase would have made it good for a lot of hope spots because the crowd would react to, like, give me a C, climb. Yeah. You know, there's something you could have done. But now it's Vaughn, and he'll do the classic whatever he does in matches spot.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think much of this match. I thought Vaughn looked really slow, he wasn't really a guy that Chase could actually really show off much what he could do with either. This was definitely a low point for me.
So now the match is Hayes, Mensa, Lee, Wagner, Fraser, or Axiom, depending on the match next week. But this is when Wes attacked Carmelo Hayes.
Yes. So after the match, Wes Lee comes out, who's pissed because he had his head caved in by a locker door the other week.
A few weeks ago.
I feel like I'd have got my own back, like,
as soon as I was good.
Just a couple of weeks. I'd have hunted the guy down at his house.
There was a great facial reaction from Hayes, who's like, oh, shit, as Wes is already, like, midair diving at him. Pretty good. But these two, one of these two should win. I think Wes should win this match now that, like, we're talking about it.
Yeah, I think Wes would be a good winner, for sure. It kind of caps off his story. It's a similar story to Grimes had, in a way, kind of being just missing out on these things. So, yeah, I think it would finish his story. We see Sanger backstage. Sanger's a little sad that he isn't in the match and he lost the other week. And he's a little down. And it's normally Sanger cheering up people. But this time it's Nathan Fraser who tries to cheer him up and says, you know, I was one down the other week, and you know what happened? I then came back and won, and now it's 1-1. Next week, I'm going to try and make it 2-1. And just saying Sanger can do the same. And Sanger thanks him and says, you know what? I hope you're going to be the next North American champion. And Fraser leaves, and then...
He is coming!
He's back. Veer.
What?
Veer is there.
This whole time, he was coming to Raw. Now he's just back here.
And just looks at him. So
former tag team
reuniting
partners.
Reuniting of Indushir.
Indushir. Wow, they're going to get Mr. Stone back?
I like that they didn't bring him in on the taped shows. Now they're back to live. It's like, okay, you can't spoil shit. We'll bring
I think
in
it was
now.
Sanger that spoiled
it. Was it Sanger
that
spoiled it?
Or was it Veer?
It?
One of them spoiled it.
Yeah.
The Keith Lee winning, yeah. That's right. We'll never not bring that up. Big pop for Veer.
Yes.
I think Sanger's way cooler than Veer.
Sanger's the coolest guy.
Veer needs Sanger. Sanger doesn't need Veer.
I agree. I think this...
Get that straight, people.
I think this could be a step back for Sanger. But who knows? This time round, Indushir might work.
Yeah.
I just don't want them to... Sanger has shown he's got more personality. I don't want to see them just be the, like, lumbering, evil, foreign giants.
Yeah. Do like, yoga.
Keep...
Whatever Sanger was doing.
Have what has been working for Sanger rub off on Veer rather than the other way around, I hope.
Yeah.
Lash Legend's got a match up next. She's walking down the hallway saying she walks it like she talks it and hates Alba Fire. And she's wrestling next.
Walk it like I talk it.
Yeah, my favorite song.
It's your favorite Migos song.
Yeah, it's great. we then see the red hoodie person handing out badges outside as Grayson Waller arrives. For the Grayson Waller effect. He's with security and tells them to make sure no philosophies come true. It's what I say whenever we've got security at work. I just say to them, hey, guy, nice to meet you. Can you make sure no philosophies come true tonight?
So he's worried that the vision of his eyes being bloody from Apollo Crews will come true tonight, and he's telling the security guard. One of my favorite things, one of my Australian friends calls me a ranger. And that's what Waller called one of the security guards. My friend says it's because I have a ginger beard, so I'm an orangutan.
Oh.
So a ranga. And that's what he said here. So
is it rude?
I hope it's not. I don't want to
say. Because it is something, like, I've definitely noticed, like, wanker.
Wanker.
Be up, like, pre-Watershed on TV over here.
Okay.
When it's, like, a Brit. It's been on, like, NXT and stuff before.
Wanker.
You wanker. And you definitely wouldn't get that like before 9 p.m. in the
UK. I don't think ranger means any other than maybe I could be wrong. I hope I'm not. But also, was he calling the red hoodie that because it's a red hoodie?
Oh, maybe
like the red ranger, but ranger.
And that takes us to Wendy Chu taking on Lash Legend. A highly anticipated match for NXT here.
Our TV literally, our box went down right as it said Lash Legend next. And we were like, oh, no.
Nope.
Our TV's out. Should we turn it back on?
Yeah.
We did.
Chu goes for a crossbody to the floor, but gets caught and slammed by Legend. Lash starts to run the ropes and does some, like, pose before hitting an elbow drop to the back. Pose. She's like, okay. Well, before doing the elbow drop.
You looked just like her right now. Everyone on the stream saw.
I think so. Wendy starts to make a comeback. She hits a drop kick. Lash is just, I feel, crawling around the map for a long time here.
Yeah.
Gets hit by a handspring elbow. Wendy goes for a drop kick, but gets caught. But Wendy rolls this through for a pin attempt. Lash goes for the big boot in the corner, but Wendy moves, so she's strung up in the ropes. And Wendy knocks her down and does her kind of top rope inverted splash here to get the win.
The Vader bomb. Legend. The Chu
bomb.
Yeah,
it's like no hand Vader bomb kind of thing.
Not too much going on in this match. I will say Lash Legend, it looked like it was like an end of days into like a backbreaker kind of thing. I'll say that looked nice, but it was basically Chu at the second half of the match that just had everything there, I think. Chu is really good. But.
I felt Lash is maybe trying a few new things. It's still just very, very green.
Yeah.
At least she's ditched the banging up and down the bottom and middle and top.
Oh, yeah, that move sucked, yeah. Yeah, true.
But, yeah, this didn't do a whole lot for me, this match. Just Wendy Chu in this character and Lash Legends wrestling, just it's not a match that's really going to grab me.
Lash did not walk it like she talks it, unfortunately.
We then see Wesley being interviewed by, sorry, what's her name? It's Quinn McKay. What's her new name?
Quinn.
Kenzie.
She doesn't have the glasses anymore. How are you supposed to wreck it? Yeah, the glasses when she was in Ring of Honor.
Quinn McKay. What's her name?
Colin Quinn?
Who's that?
Is that a comedian from like SNL or something?
Isn't that one of the characters from 2K? Like the one?
What?
You know, in 2K they have the like Baron Blade.
Right.
Colin Quinn. Or Cole Quinn. Is it Cole Quinn?
Cole Quinn. Maybe you could be a soldier in one of the games.
They haven't even bothered updating her pro wrestling wiki to say she's in WWE. You think that would be
pro wrestling wiki needs to get it together.
Yeah, you think that's something you put on.
Well, she's there.
She's there.
She's great, though.
She's fantastic. Awesome, yeah. Is anyone in the...
Kelly Kincaid.
Thank you, Knocked Out Films.
Shout out Knocked
Out. That's why we go live on Twitch.
That's right.
She asks, Wes, what's up? And he says, that wasn't a message I gave to Mello. That was a receipt. He tried to crush my skull and end my career. Well, I want to win the championship, but I want to go after Mello too. And then that's when Stax comes in.
I thought he was Two Dimes.
Two Dimes is in Battle Royals in AEW.
He's in the Trustbusters.
Yeah.
I think.
Stax is here.
I got you.
Stax says, well, all your friends left you.
All your friends are dead.
And now... No, Stax's friends are dead.
Oh, shit. Sorry, right?
Wes is...
KFAY, Two Dimes is dead. Yeah,
Two Dimes is dead.
Yeah.
And...
Tony's
leg got taken out. So he's like, we're not so different, you and I. And Wes says, look, I didn't want to win that way last week. And Stax says, yeah, the Don and I know how to make things look like an accident. Which I thought was a pretty good line.
I did laugh at that, yeah.
Setting up a singles match for next week.
Nice.
I'd be curious to see how Stax fares in a singles. We've kind of seen him hidden in tags so far.
And also clarifies what happened to Tony D'Angelo last week. We knew it wasn't his head going into the turnbuckle pad because it just didn't look like that, but it definitely was his leg.
Yeah, it's a legit injury.
So I hope Tony D's all right. But this gives him time to, you know, walk around with a cane on crutches, be the godfather.
Yeah, and I think could be good for Stax trying to establish himself. I think when you had Two Dimes there as well, like as a tag team, you could be kind of interchangeable and just look the same. I think if it's just Stax and Tony D, you need to establish Stax's character a bit more, and having him continue in single stuff until Tony's back could be good for him.
You think Stax, when he's off, not being on NXT TV, you know, he's out at like a restaurant or a bar and he talks to a stranger. Oh, like, what do you do? Oh, I'm a pro wrestler. Oh, yeah? What? Like WWE? Yeah, I'm on NXT TV. Oh, cool. Like, what do you go by? What's your name? Stacks. Stacks? Yeah, Stacks. Huh. Stacks. Yeah, I bet you he hates
it. I'm pretty sure he goes, Channing Lorenzo.
Channing Lorenzo. Stacks. Stacks.
So when people go, what do you podcast about? Oh, you know, movies and pro wrestling.
They go, excuse me, what did you just say?
Movies.
Movies that happen to be about wrestling sometimes. Yes, I love me some Stacks, but I think Wes is going to beat him up next week.
We then go to a video package from Gallus, and I got to be honest, the balance of the music behind them and their Scottish accents, I found it quite hard to make out what these lads were saying.
I can never understand what Gallus is saying.
I'm normally okay, but it was tough this week with the music behind it. And they were just talking about their suspension. They've been suspended, if you didn't know. It was breaking news after last week's show. Unfortunately, we'd already finished recording. So whilst recording, we didn't know that Gallus had been suspended.
They were suspended.
For their actions. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys.
What are we going to do without Gallus and the groundskeeper Willie lads?
So
they all look, especially Wolfgang looks like him.
Oh, it's that time to start watching the Treehouse of Horrors again. The Nightmare on Elm Street with groundskeeper
Willie.
Fantastic. One is, yeah, it's so really good.
I can understand groundskeeper Willie more than I can understand.
Yeah, because that's an American guy putting on a Scottish accent. This is just someone deep from the Highlands here. They're talking about their suspension, but they tell us to not worry, lads, because we'll be back soon enough. I know you're all worried, people. And then
they say they're coming for the title.
Yeah, so I think it's Joe Coffey's like the main one, right? Yeah. He's the singles guy. He basically says, I'm going to go after Bron. I'm going for the NXT title, as Gallus are going for the tag titles. But as always, these guys looked sharp and look great, and I can't wait for their suspension to be over.
Yeah, what do you think they're doing on their time off?
Drinking iron brew.
Just playing pool. What were they doing in their clubhouse? Cards.
What do Scottish, no, they didn't have any pool.
What do Scottish people... Oh, yeah, they didn't have pool.
Just drink whiskey and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. But they're having a nice time.
I'm sure they're having a great time.
Yeah.
When's Burns Night? We should do Burns Night this year.
What's Burns Night? We love our Scots. Oh, that sounds nice.
Oh, that's January. Oh, hey, but it's St. Andrew's Day
is coming up soon. We should put on Loch Ness.
We'll release Loch Ness for free. What's another?
For free? That was a high paying tier podcast.
I think we can give it away next month.
All right. We have insight.
Is there a Loch Ness 2?
No, there was supposed to be.
We do Braveheart next month.
You want to review Braveheart?
Yeah.
I just explained I can't understand what these people say. Now you want me to watch a 3-hour movie where I won't understand anything?
We're not doing Braveheart. It's 2 hours, 58 minutes. Yeah.
Let's just watch.
Tell us your favorite Scottish films. For maybe do Best Match Ever, Gallus.
They Live, Roddy Piper. That's as Scottish as I'm getting. Shout out Gallus going for the NXT title. That made me go, no, stay suspended for as long as we need you to be suspended.
We then get a little video, like a sit down with Kaden and Katana. And we first have this like inspirational quote. It's
live, laugh,
you know,
love.
It. All the girls on your Instagram post it to their story. It's anything is possible when you have the right people to support you.
Wow.
Yeah. Live, laugh, love. Have you not achieved your dreams, Brian?
Because I live and hang out with you. Okay. You got to be supportive to people.
Trying my best.
I'm joking. They're going away from rave girls now, and they're saying, we're actually really different.
Yeah. So they're being interviewed, and Kaden calls Katana a goody two-shoes. She's like, I'm not that good, am I? It's like, no, you're always doing things by the book. Yeah. And Katana's like, well, you can be good too. And Kaden's explaining that she's been wanting to be a wrestler, like, right from day one. It's showing, like, her performance center, like, when she signed up. It's showing her training, kind of clips from the Mayan Classics, stuff like that. And Katana says, well, actually, I started off by doing gymnastics, and I was in American Ninja Warrior. And it wasn't until I kind of tried out here where I realized, wow, this is what I want to do. But I went through a bad time. and it's showing the reports that I kind of completely forgot about when Casey Catanzaro was reportedly like asked for a release, like was potentially leaving WWE.
Right.
And Katana says that Kayden was there through those bad times and was there for her and helped her kind of like stay and,
nice.
And become who she is. And they became best friends. And then they kind of finished by like putting both Toxic Attraction and Zoe and Nikita on notice.
See, like, you know, I'm trying to still poke fun at these two because the most we've seen is these two going to concerts being really annoying. And they didn't come across that way this time. So that's already going in the right direction. I just like how it's already like, we're actually different people. Here's our story. When it's like, you were basically twins for a while. So it is a good start.
I think it's definitely better. You watch their like Instagram stories and stuff. You see these are legit. This isn't Zoe Stark and Nikita Lyons who have just been shoved together.
It's not.
These are two legit like best friends.
Sure.
And bringing in the Kayden leaving, I thought was good. I just felt this is the story you should have been telling on The Chase, maybe.
Yeah, even way back.
Which I think would have made it more like emotional when they won the titles.
Yeah, we gave them so much shit when they were doing the like visiting raves and concerts. Yeah. And it's like, that can totally be part of your gimmick and part of the character, but the way they were portraying it on the screen, they looked annoying.
Yeah.
They were the people if you saw next to you at this thing, you'd be like, turn your phone off and stop doing that. Where now is like, they're actually real people. So that is something that I think at least going forward, because I'm not too high on their characters, but when it comes to the wrestling, like they keep improving and improving, and they're champs now, so it almost does give them that good story. So I did kind of like that's different from what we've seen from them.
And this takes us to our number one contenders match, Toxic Attraction, made up of Gigi and JC, taking on Nikita Lyons and Zoe Starks. Zoe Starks tags in first and just shoves JC down. They share roll-up pin attempts. There's a springboard crossbody from Zoe for a two. Nikita comes in with some of her strikes and kicks. And then, not tagged in, but Zoe just comes in with great-looking springboard dropkick.
Yeah.
Just turning, I think it was JC, inside out. After the commercial, we see JC hit a senton on Nikita for a two count. Zoe comes back in. There's an STO from Gigi to Nikita. And then Toxic Attraction hit their kind of kick running neck breaker combo for a two count. There's then a spinning heel kick from Nikita to JC, kind of missed her face completely, but JC selling this here.
Yeah.
JC's coming back with some big forearms and then says, suck it. Does the suck it pose.
Nice.
Then Toxic Attraction go for the high low, but Nikita drags JC out the ring. And this allows Zoe Stark to hit the, we call it the Zota Sleep. I know they gave it a name last week.
Yeah, the name isn't as cool.
It's
whatever
a
they call it.
Spinning knee lift to the face. This looks great.
This one looked like Gigi. The camera was the other way. It didn't look like it was anywhere near her as well. There was some cool double.
There's a plancha to JC on the outside, which allows Zoe to tag Nikita in, who hits her splitted leg drop to get the pin on Gigi Dolan.
Yeah, so Zoe and Nikita are the number one contenders now to face Katana and Kayden. There were some cool double teams from each team to the other opponents, but there was also just a lot of, like we mentioned, missed kicks and just some off cues, but nothing to write home about, but it didn't necessarily overstay its welcome either.
I'd say the right team won. I feel I kind of, as I said, I think maybe the Kayden and Katana thing was maybe a bit too late to see this kind of thing. I kind of like something like that for Zoe and Nikita. Why are they together?
Right.
They were just...
No idea.
We found out they were together randomly from a graphic on SmackDown months ago.
And then they weren't in the match.
And then they...
Nikita couldn't get into Canada, so...
So the match didn't happen, and then they just continued the team on NXT. But we've never really had any real reason to know why they're together or care why they're together. I think it's good if you're not putting Zoe in the women's title picture. I think you've got this tag division and you don't have tag teams, so by all means put them together and it will help Nikita improve. But I just like a bit of, especially now they're the number one contenders, I need a reason for them to be
fair enough. Yeah, there is no reason to care for it. No. Like, you're just like, all right, cool.
But I think this could be a good match against Kayden and Katana. I think
you imagine
Zoe in there with those two should be pretty good.
Yeah, I imagine this is at the pay-per-view, or maybe not, maybe next week.
I would think...
Maybe?
I don't think they announced it for next week. No, they
did not.
So either Halloween Havoc or maybe the TV after, if they've got too many things. Maybe pre, perhaps. We get a video package for Ilya Dragunov.
This is great.
This is fantastic. It's kind of a mix of him just talking directly to the camera.
In like a black suit, black shirt, like real dressed up, real nice, you know, hair neatly done, like looks very professional. And then it cuts to clips of him in like outside. Dresden. Yeah. And he's basically in his Daniel Bryan white t-shirt, you know, doing stuff.
He's doing like one-armed push-ups. He's doing like hand squats upside down on his head.
Couldn't imagine. Great like Christian Bale Batman type shit here.
Yeah, looks dragging off great. His nuts. And as it's cutting with shots from his different matches, he says, "The pain I felt was far more than that of a snapped ligament," as it's showing highlights from the match against JD McDonagh where he like blew out his ankle.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Vacating the title hurt more. Watching NXT hurt. Watching the title being unified made me realize that it should have been me. And at Halloween Havoc, Bron Breakker is stepping into the ring with the machine. And JD knows in his heart that I will leave every ounce of myself in that ring. And I've left, including days, weeks, and months of my career. And that's something JD talks about but doesn't possess. I will once again be champion. Long live the Tsar." And I didn't do that segment any amount of justice as it deserves. Like, go and watch this. I think this guy looks... You watch the show beginning to end, this guy's the complete package. Like, he's got the wrestling. He's got such a great look. His promos in the last couple of weeks have really impressed me.
It sounds like obviously he's got... I believe he speaks... probably a few languages then. I think
we heard him speak
German in those matches with Walter, so I know that. But his English sounds fine here, and he comes across like almost like one of these movie stars, like very, very slick, cool, calm, and collective, very fashionable. But you know this guy's a murderer when he wrestles in the ring. So I thought this is one of the better NXT videos in a long time. I know that they had, you know, the prime targets, what is it, hard targets, whatever prime they're target, called, those things. This kind of felt like a mini version of that, just kind of isolating him, and this was pretty sweet. Especially if you've enjoyed some of this guy's matches, this is a little like highlight for this guy to be in this triple threat, but it was good.
I think if you want to move this guy up at some point,
You could now with this.
I would do vignettes similar to this for him before you move him up. I found him captivating
here. For sure.
And I think if you've never seen this guy before, and you're showing this on SmackDown, something. Obviously, this is to tell a story for the match, but a similar kind of thing. I think his wrestling wins you over right away.
His wrestling in the, you know, bell to bell, one of the best in the company for sure. One of the best going, and now I'm kind of seeing more of the complete thing of him. I'm seeing the promo. You come across very like, again, like I said, cool and calm. But it also has the story of him coming back. But it did very look like everything you would want in like a main roster.
I can see him doing sports entertainment. If that,
I could,
in a good way.
Like, he has a striking, like the way he looks.
Having a story that builds to a match.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. Which, no, this guy is great. And this made me just go, you're leagues ahead of everyone else here. Why are you on this show? I just watched Lash Legend and now I'm watching this guy in the same show. It's like really weird. This guy should be like a big, this guy could be on Raw at this point. But yeah. I want him to win. I don't think he will, but I do want him to win. It'd be way more interesting.
Mm. We then go to the Grayson Waller effect. No, not the t-shirt. No, not the move. No, not the song. But the show!
Ah.
The Grayson Waller effect show.
That's right.
Grayson Waller's out. He's got his desk. He's got his palm trees.
Yeah, he's got a whole TV set now. So he's got like palm trees, his desk with chairs for his guests that are going to come out. And then he's got the little screen that shows the same image of him on that screen. And now he's also going live on Instagram. So he's Instagram live on his phone while he's doing the segment with the microphone in his other hand.
Yes.
We checked and logged on to Instagram live, and he actually was live on Instagram.
I tried to plug the show in there, but clearly you couldn't do plugs.
Yeah.
So I asked him where he got his shirt.
Interesting.
Still.
I saw an interesting plug.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. When it popped up that he was on Instagram live, Joe Gacy joined the room, and posted a white rabbit emoji.
Uh-oh.
Let the white rabbit conspiracy continue, but I did think that was a little out of the hat.
I'd find it so fucking funny if it's Joe Gacy.
That just means we can listen to that amazing theme song a million more times if he's on the main roster.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. I thought this was an interesting thing. I always praised Tyler Breeze for kind of using the selfie stick entrance, and I always thought like how it showed his camera on the thing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why is there no, like, Instagram Live's been live for a while. There definitely could have done something like that. He kept this live for the whole segment until the referee finally picked up his phone and turned it off.
Yep.
So congrats to that. That was something new.
I'm sick of all the, everyone seems to have a talk show.
Yeah.
I did like the look of this. It kind of felt like a bit of a Twitch stream that was going on.
Ticker with like fake names like Grayson Waller fan 112, and it'd be like Waller's the best, or like, you know, Canucks fan 2, and it'd be like Canadians love Waller. Yeah. Like it's all like fake, like,
I thought it facts. Looked better than just the standard two Way seats better. And things. I thought they put something into it.
Way better.
And your guests are Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez, who are coming out ahead of their match at Halloween Havoc.
Waller jokes and says, "Don't worry, Roxanne, I got you a booster seat."
Yeah.
Pissed her off.
Cora asks, how many people had to cry? How many people did Roxanne have to cry to get this rematch? And Roxy says, it was pretty easy seeing that everyone wanted to see me kick your ass in this match. Waller keeps on asking them both to stop interrupting him as he's got things he wants to say on his show. Roxy says at Heatwave she came in with mixed emotions, but now those emotions are gone, so she doesn't have any problem hurting her and beating her. And it's not a sob story. We wanted to break into this company together. We wanted to rise to the top together. We wanted to be what the Four Horsewomen were to us. Whenever they say things like that, that makes me go, oh man, I'm old. Like,
the Four
Horsewomen.
When
we were watching the Four Horsewomen when we were kids at school, we wanted to be that. And you're like,
feels like it was last year.
Yeah.
This week, I watched that. Damn.
And as soon as I surpassed you, you threw it away. And after Halloween Havoc, I'll leave you behind and pursue those goals on my own. Cora says that you're a whole lot of hype and not enough talent, and you're not good enough to be in the generation of Jade. And Roxanne says, for one whole year, you're putting on this nice girl act, and as soon as you realize no one was buying it, and Waller interrupts, shuts it all down again, and says that next week it's pick your poison, which means that they both get to pick the other's opponent.
Yeah, and he clarifies here, meaning that this means the whole WWE roster, meaning everyone. He did clarify saying, like, teasing that maybe we'll get some people coming from Raw or SmackDown.
So expect a huge ovation for Tamina next week.
Fuck. That could be hype.
Yeah.
Who else would you want to see?
I could definitely see, like, Cora picking, like, a, you know, one of the big powerhouses who could afford a loss.
Grayson,
like a Tamina.
Yeah, Waller jokes and says we could get Omos versus Roxanne, which would be great.
And then Roxanne will... Oh, I know who you'd bring.
Natalya.
Shotzi. It's Halloween Havoc week.
I think Mako Satomura for Cora Jade, so she gets that match.
Oh, true.
Right?
Yeah, you could do that.
Yeah.
But I like, they did pick your poison last year as well, and I think maybe the year before. So I like that they're keeping up the tradition of that.
The Halloween Havoc. But then it gets even more spooky.
Yeah, he says, we'll also be adding spin the wheel, make the deal.
Yeah.
And Grayson keeps on getting mad at them interrupting. So says, you know what? We're going to do it right now. We're not going to wait till Halloween.
He's going to spin it.
I'm going to spin it. And if it lands on spinner's choice, I get to pick the match. So he goes to spin the wheel when a druid comes out.
There's a Halloween Havoc like druid guy who brought out the wheel, and he's there. And Grayson's approaching the wheel, and we think, okay, that could be Apollo Crews, because he's trying to avoid the vision coming true. So to make sure, Grayson Waller, to make sure it's not Apollo Crews, goes and checks. And the way he checks is not taking off the hood to see if it's Apollo Crews. He checks by raising the like sleeve. Druid sleeve to reveal the white skin color, and he goes, "Ah, it's not him."
It's not him. I thought Waller was actually quite funny here.
Oh my God.
Then spins the wheel, and he's going, "Coal miner's glove, coal miner's glove. I don't know what that is, but it looks sick."
It sounds sick, whatever that is. Yeah. It's what is it? It's a glove with spikes on it?
It's a coal miner's glove on a pole, isn't it?
Is it like a glove that's dipped in glass? What is that? No.
No, I think it's like a, like it's got metal in it, hasn't it?
Oh, I'm thinking of Bloodsport when they dip their hands in glass at the end of the fight.
Right. No, I think it's like a loaded glove. Yeah, glove, miner's. Like, sounds, you know, you get like steel cap boots.
Doesn't sound that sick, but.
No. But it's always the joke every Halloween.
Yeah, we always joked about it.
Oh, we'll get the coal miner's glove match. It lands on Weapons Wild match.
Whoa.
So
what's a Weapons Wild match?
I imagine just a Extreme Rules hardcore match.
Chairs would be legal? Kendo sticks?
I think so.
Paper skateboards?
Yeah.
Fuck.
All of it. All of the above. Yeah, a bit disappointing. I feel you always do these spin the wheels. I want something kind of wild.
Yeah. I want Cactus Jack Vader.
What, the
Death?
Texas Death Match. You hate that match.
Yeah. Not that match, just the stipulation of that match. Yeah.
The girls then start to fight and security's pulling them apart. And we see Waller is on his Instagram live and then sees that behind him is Apollo Crews. So Apollo beats him up, pulls him under the ring. And then this is when, if you're watching the Instagram live, you're just seeing like, the rafters of the CWC, and then you see the ref bend down and pick it up, and it's like, what's this? How do I do this? Turns it off, and Waller comes out, and he, sure enough, has been blinded in both eyes.
I thought he was just, you know, smoking some bowls down there,
because
his eyes were all red. So the vision came true.
Vision came true.
That Grayson Waller's got some bloody eyes. It's really weird.
This is kind of fucked, though.
It's kind of weird.
So did Apollo pull him under the ring and then just fucking stab him in the eyes?
You could have just done that and not under the ring. That's where I'm at.
Are we getting an eye for an eye match?
I didn't even think of that. But, like, this has to be leading somewhere. So I guess we did not see this one coming.
It's out.
That's probably... It's out.
It's out.
This was the most likable Grayson Waller was in this segment up until like
I thought he was actually pretty good.
Up until the silliness of like I keep like new era of NXT starts tonight. Yeah, well some guy got taken under the ring and then stabbed in his eyes with what we don't know, but he's bleeding out his eyes.
Preferred if the phone went under the ring.
I thought he was going to be looking at his live and then like sees and somehow like the security like bump into his eyes. Or we joked last week that maybe he just gets pink eye somehow, you know? And none of that happened. Instead, he just gets kidnapped by Apollo. Apollo Crews is not under the ring. Mm. Apollo Crews is with him outside, goes under the ring to bring him also under the ring.
It almost makes it feel like Apollo Crews is now
doing
spooky,
some weird shit. Yeah, that's what I mean.
And it's like, it's Apollo Crews.
Yeah, why is he going under the ring like Hornswoggle? It's really weird. Very unfortunate for Apollo Crews. He came back to you know, wrestle, and he's still doing sports entertainment
shit.
He
came in and said, I'm going to be the future NXT champion. I'm here to finish what I started all those years ago.
Yeah.
I have come to see the future and blind Grayson Waller.
Yeah. It just looked like...
There's got to be some sort of...
It just looked like they put, like, some... Yeah, take the fake blood, just rub it on your eyelids. Like, it didn't look like his eyes were bleeding. It's like... The image that we saw was, like, what? Him with, like, red eyes? Like, he was, smoking? But here, it's just, like, there's just blood? It was really bad.
Yeah.
And they should feel bad. But everything else was good.
I just haven't enjoyed this feud, this story at all. I did think I didn't mind the Cora, Roxy, and Grayson part of it, though.
I want Grayson to cut a promo next week with two eye patches on.
He'll just be in sunglasses.
They'll match. Yeah, true. They'll match his shirt if he does that.
Although it'll be like maybe he wrestles in like goggles or something now. Maybe.
Yeah, I just don't care.
I do want to see. I was a little like let down, I thought, with the first match with Roxanne and Cora.
Yeah, me too.
I really want to see them
step it up.
For and
sure.
I don't want to see just, as you said, kendo stick shots, things like
it's
that.
It's unfortunate. That's
not,
the gimmick.
I'm not
yeah.
saying broken glass and shit like that. I want to see a good physical match.
No, it's a Weapons Wild. They can use anything. they're gonna outdo Jun Kasai and Desperado.
Jeez, yeah.
They're gonna bring out the knives, the forks, the glass.
Oh boy,
bring it all out.
Fire.
But no, Cora Jade will just use her bat thing that she has for no reason. Sure.
Yeah. We see the Schism backstage, and they're upset at the Red Hood person for what, not giving out enough badges.
Yeah, you're not doing enough. You're not doing enough here.
Gacy says, "We're not mad, just disappointed. You need to do better."
Heard that one before.
Yeah, me too. And we go to our next match. Julius Creed taking on Duke Hudson. And this doesn't go long at all. It's just Julius fucking him up.
Two side slams, yeah.
And then the rolling Death Valley driver, followed by the big lariat for the win.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing it up as he's really pissed for his brother. So Duke interrupted, and therefore Duke just got the punishment that he deserved really quick. And then the story is really after this.
Yeah, again, though, like, it's, I always find Julius, Duke Hudson is not a small guy.
No.
And he's still just, like, throwing him around. I think he's so impressive.
Yeah, Creed is definitely, Julius, like, we love both the Creeds, but Julius is the one where, like, okay, like, you could be something even bigger than this, but yeah.
After the match, Brutus comes out to beat up Duke even more, and Julius and Ivy are there to kind of, like, tame him a bit and calm him down. And Damon Kemp comes out on the perch and calls Julius Brutus's keeper. And he says, but he's actually just my bitch.
Ah.
Says that at Halloween Havoc, I've already fought Brutus. Well, at Halloween Havoc, I'm going to fight you, Julius. But I'm going to add a stipulation. And Julius is like, sure, whatever. What do you want? If I lose, you want me to leave NXT? Like, what do you want? Kemp says, no. It's not about you, Julius. It's not about you at all. It's about Brutus. So when I beat you, it's not you who's gone, but your brother's gone from WWE. And
NXT.
From NXT. Julius says, I'm not cold-hearted, but when the time comes, there's no one colder than me. There's ice in my veins. And, well, if you're adding that stip, I want to add a stip. I'm going to send you out the same way you sent out Roddy, in an ambulance. I want an ambulance match.
Whoa.
And then Damon says, tell Roddy to make room for me. For you. Yeah. And laughs. And Julius ends by saying, you call me, I answer on first ring. Get your shit together. Damon Kemp, I'm coming for you. Bitch.
I like how Julius gets to say shit.
Shit, yeah.
Yeah, Roxanne said it earlier, but she was cut off, but she still said it in that promo. But here he just said it, so. They saw AEW don't say it anymore, so.
It's not up to Roxanne to stop. It's up to the other person to interrupt soon enough.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
So, Damon Kemp versus Julius Creed. It is announced ambulance match, and if Julius loses, Brutus will have to leave NXT.
You know, I'm going to give some props to Damon Kemp here. I've been impressed by his wrestling, but I actually think his, whenever I've seen him talk, I think he sounds quite natural. I think it's a bit weird him being in this super, like, heel mode.
Yeah.
I don't think he's quite there yet, but I do think the guy sounds confident. And for someone who, like, I didn't really see it in those moments we've seen with his brother at all, but I can see this guy getting better and better. And he seems pretty comfortable out there, as does Julius.
Yeah, so are we going to see, like, if Brutus leaves, does that mean they'll both leave and then just go to the main roster or something? Or, because I don't know, they mentioned Roddy, but Roddy hasn't shown up yet or even been mentioned or on TV or anything since this. I'm still, like, not certain that it's Roddy who could swerve on the Creed brothers and cost them this match, or I don't know.
I think we're going to see Diamond Mine get back together.
Okay.
I think, firstly, I can't think of any ambulance match where the heel has won.
Okay. Shane McMahon versus Kane. What happened with that one?
Who was the heel there?
They're both heels.
Yeah, I feel that match is always the babyface that ends up coming out top.
I guess.
I could see Roddy being like the driver of the ambulance or something like that and helping Diamond Mine beat Damon.
Sure.
And then I do see maybe a call up for the three of them.
Okay.
Or the four with Ivy.
Like, fuck it, we'll leave anyways.
Yeah.
Sure.
But I think Julius wins. I think we see Roddy back.
Or Roddy costs Julius the match, therefore Brutus has to leave. That's the stiff. And then Julius is pissed and wants a match with Roddy, and Roddy says, yeah, I want to, if I beat you, you also have to leave, and then they just both leave.
Or Julius loses, so Brutus is gone.
Yeah.
And then the next week, Brutus just pulls up in his car.
I can't leave without you.
You don't think I'm leaving without you?
Yeah, I can't leave without you. Where are those guys?
I said, where are they?
Where's that Legato?
They're just waiting for the right moment. They're White Rabbit.
White Rabbit could be Legato.
Yeah.
Wow. Didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
Ambulance match.
We then see JD McDonagh watching videos of Bron Breakker and Ilya Dragunov.
He didn't get quite as good a video as
it's him
Dragunov.
Just watching this. It's like the Miz Hate Me Now thing.
Yeah.
He's watching the screen.
It could have used some Nas. And, yeah.
He says both these guys are exactly the same. Boundless energy. They both use their bodies as a weapon, and they've only got two brain cells between them. And the strongest man isn't always the most dangerous man. And you can call me the Jackal. You can call me dangerous. You can call me whatever you want. But you can call me the NXT champion.
Damn. Well, we can't unless he wins. But
He thinks he's going to win. But yeah, this was okay. The Ilya thing definitely hyped this up more.
Yeah, for sure.
We now see the security team bigging up Hank.
All these guys.
Hank.
Let's go, Hank. You got your match tonight. Let's go, Hank. And then one guy comes in. He goes, don't blow it. And then they all go, and he goes, just joking. JK.
It's Hank's first official match as an NXT superstar. And then Quincy comes in, and the security just love him. They're Quincy. And I noticed one of the security at the back looked like Matt Smith.
Who's Matt Smith?
Doctor Who. He's in the new House of the Dragon thing.
Okay.
Like
that guy, yeah.
Distinctive face.
Yeah.
I thought it was just Matt Smith chilling behind. Yeah. Friends with Hank. And then Quincy just tells him, hey, watch out for Zion. And as much as I like those tribal tattoos of his, kind of like pounce a little. I pissed him off last week, so he might be a bit angry. So watch out for Zion.
Yeah. Who would be mad at Quincy?
I like pairing Quincy with these lads.
Yeah, why not?
I think it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hank and Quincy.
We then see Axiom, who's talking about his match next week. He's comparing it to comic books and...
numbers.
All good comics of trilogies, and, well, next week's the end of our trilogy.
So first this guy's telling us, like, this match means this because of the numbers, and then when my equations are correct, now he's like, I'm so excited.
Last week it was football.
Yeah, and now it's like, you know, my favorite comic book trilogy was... No, come on, stop. Yeah. Sound like WH.
He says the first two matches were so close and could have gone either way. I expect this one to be even closer. And this is a trilogy, and instead of reading it on a page, I get to write the final chapter.
So next week, Axiom, Nathan Frazier, 3, and the winner is added to the ladder match, which is a shame because both of them should be added.
You'd like both to be in it, yeah.
Also, I think this match should just be on the pay-per-view, but... I digress.
Well, yeah, but then you wouldn't have them in the ladder match.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the match.
Me too.
I think both have been good so far. I would like, as it's third one, maybe give them a little bit more time.
Me too.
And, yeah, who do you see
Nathan,
winning this?
Nathan Frazier.
I think Nathan as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, either way, I like both guys. We go to Zion Quinn taking on Hank Walker. Walker takes Hank down, has some big strikes. It's then all Zion. He's coming back with these strikes, a backdrop suplex for a 2. Hank comes out of the corner with a big clothesline and takes Zion down with some punches, then takes his shirt off. And then Quinn just comes in with his like flying forearm to the face for the win.
Yeah, very basic moves from Quinn, as we've seen. But he wins with this running forearm, and it doesn't look very impressive. Nothing in this guy really... He looks impressive, but he never wrestles impressive.
Yeah.
He's
wrestled the same way for about a year now.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think when I saw him a year ago...
He's not good.
There were some things that looked okay, and obviously he looks impressive, but it's the same. It's exactly the same now.
So he also beats Hank here, which definitely, like... They've done this Mickey Mouse booking with Zion Quinn where he wins and then he loses to people. I just hate it. Like, you're trying to get this Hank guy over instantly. Again, just taking it right underneath it instantly. Just kind of weird. Shout out Hank's music. Mm-hmm. It's like this country song. Sounds pretty cool, acoustic. And after this, and you know what? He had some wrestling that showcased. The crowd is way more into this character than anything Zion Quinn will do.
I haven't really seen much from Hank's wrestling to particularly impress me yet.
Sure.
But the character is working. Yeah. So I don't know why. Like, Zion Quinn...
Should not have gone
He's
over.
Established as a jobber. Like, him and Duke Hudson, they're the guys that chat shit and...
Get
banged.
Yeah.
And I think it would have made more sense for just Hank to have, you know, fluked another win.
It's because Quincy's now going to beat Zion Quinn.
Zion.
Wow. Quinn and Quincy.
Quinn and Quincy, yeah.
Quincy could be their name. Quincy comes out afterwards.
Yeah, so Zion continues the beatdown on Hank after, and Quincy comes out for the save. Hank fist bumps him, so Quincy smacks his bum.
And then Hank's like, oh, all right.
Two weeks in a row with bum smacking.
Shout out bum smacking.
Shout out bum smacking.
You ain't living unless you smack
Let's
nice
normalize
bum.
Smacking each other.
Whoa, okay. Take a step back for a second. So Quincy and Hank going to be this new, like team?
Yeah, I guess.
Smacking each other's bums?
What would they be called?
Hank.
So what's... Quincy's the super diva?
Super security.
Super safe.
Super safe.
Super safe.
Super yeah. Hank. Quincy and Hank.
Quincy and Hank. Yeah, that works.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah. Cameron Grimes is walking around backstage, goes to the person in the red hoodie and says, "Hey, you don't need to deal with that guy. He talks out the side of his mouth. The guy is a hypocrite." And he gets attacked by the dyad. They beat him up with a steel chair. And Gacy comes in and says to the hoodie person, "Job well done. Welcome to the Schism's tree." They all hug.
Damn.
Which, unfortunately, means I think Grimes is still feuding with these guys.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks. And... Yeah, I think we've been kind of talking in our sort of private chat that we think it's probably Isla Dawn.
Yeah, she wore a red
She wore cape. A red hood. She was like Little Red Riding Hood kind
yeah,
of
Yeah, she is here now, yeah.
Yeah, so body type kind of works.
It could be her.
Could be, and sticks with the
just,
NXT.
Yeah, I just don't care about a whole lot. It'll turn around once Joe Gacy debuts as the White Rabbit.
Yes,
I have faith in that.
Brutus is backstage, still all riled up, the Brawling Brutes.
Oh, the Brawling Brutes.
Backstage.
Bruising Brawlers.
Getting, like, fired up for their match. Briggs and Jensen come in to wish them luck, and Butch is like, let me at him.
Let me fight
like,
these,
whoa, yeah. No, we come in peace. We just wanted to come and say that when you win the titles tonight, we want the first shot. And then Malik Blade and Idris Anofi come in and say, "Well, we want a shot." And they all start arguing. And Butch just picks up a steel chair and smashes it against the wall. And Ridge says, "Look, if you want a match, you got to bring the same aggressive style you did last week against Gallus," talking to Briggs and Jensen. "And Idris and Malik, you need to take things seriously."
"You need to take off that sweater."
Yeah. And then they go, "It's fight night. We put on banger after banger after banger after banger."
Damn.
Yeah.
After banger.
Yeah.
No Sheamus in NXT here.
Not. He's got his IC title match on Friday.
It's true.
Hey, I want to watch that.
Yeah, that should be pretty good. That
should be good.
I don't think Gunther should lose, but at the same time, Sheamus is having a hell of a run right now.
Yeah.
So
you could do the rematch on TV now and then maybe hold off and do the third one at Mania.
Do Extreme Rules. That.
No, I think you have a break from it. You've got the six man.
Yeah, rules. True, right, yeah.
Have a break from it and then have
Mania.
Sheamus revisit at Mania and maybe gets the big win then.
Can't believe I'm excited about a Sheamus match.
I've been excited about Sheamus matches for a year or so now.
That one with Gunther was great.
Yeah, he's been good.
I will be checking out that match on SmackDown. But I'm happy that we got some NXT guys here.
Yes. Bron Breakker's being interviewed when Javier Bonnell.
Who?
Shows up.
I love this guy because this guy shows up and I have to wait for the name key to pop up to remember who he is. He has such an unmemorable face.
He's the prick.
he's that prick in any like movie, teen comedy movie that's like the that one guy who just sucks. Like not your main villain, not the no, just some one guy.
Is he
guy
the guy
sucks.
At karaoke that every time we see him like, oh yeah,
that guy. Oh, it's that guy. Oh, I remember you exist now. That's this guy's heat here. I'm sure he's a nice guy in real life.
Yeah.
He's just got a face that Braun Breaker really wants to punch.
There's a word for that in German.
You've explained this to me. There's a word that's you got a punchable face.
Yeah.
And it's
I brought it
how
up
do you
on
say
a,
it?
Was next or something?
Javier Bardem. What's this guy's name?
Javier Bernal.
Bernal. Sorry, I was thinking. Something.
Backpfeifengesicht.
That's what this guy is.
Backpfeifengesicht. Yeah.
God bless you.
Yes. Javier Bernal says, "Well, it's funny because isn't a triple threat how you lost the title at Roadblock?" And Braun says, "You've got no brains." You're big, and he's like, I'm big body Javi. And he says, well, my anger lost him the title at Roadblock. And now the anger is making me request a match against you next week. This was a bit like, I don't think we needed a segment to justify this match, really.
Nah, with big body Javi. What's his name?
Big body Javi.
Yeah. Unfortunately, again, like your champion came across such an afterthought on this show. And I guess, you know, he doesn't have to be the big showcase every single week, but the Dragunov video was so next level that this just was
even
like weird.
The JD one wasn't on that level, but you still had something for JD. I think you needed something from Ron here.
So next week
he's just gonna murder this guy. And interesting, they actually announced this is kicking off the show next week.
Nice.
So not only are they promoting, but they're telling us
better rush home and make it for 8 p.m
Don't miss Bron
for big party Hardy. What's his name?
Big body Javi.
Yeah, I won't remember it.
And next week, we also get part three between Axiom and Fraser and Wesley versus Stax.
Nice. Stacked episode of NXT.
Stacked, yeah. And that takes us to our main event. It's for the NXT Tag Team Championship. Pretty Deadly taking on the Brawling Brutes, Ridge Holland and Butch. It starts off with Ridge just killing Kit Wilson. He hits the does a kind of double underhook lift when Ridge comes in with a drop kick to the stomach. Butch comes in with a drop kick to the stomach. Butch then starts bending the fingers of Kit Wilson.
Break your fingers.
Butch and Fridge then do the 10 beats of the Baron.
Yeah.
Like tandem. And then Wilson finally makes the tag to Elton. He's been beaten up for a long time. But Ridge comes in with these big shoulder blocks and a power slam to Kit.
Yeah, there's a few power slams look good.
He hits one on Kit on top of Prince. Butch then hits a Rana to Kit and just starts stomping down on him. Goes for this like armbar submission, but Kit reaches for Prince's hand to kind of save him from this, which allows Butch to hit the moonsault to the outside, then just delivering both Germans to both guys. And Pretty Deadly come back with their kind of pop-up code breaker.
This was cool. Yeah, Elton monkey flips Kit into the other guy, like basically launching him in the air, and the other guy then code breakers Ridge, I think it was. Or no, Pete Dunne, which sold it great, yeah.
And then both do a like a tandem shote to Butch, which looked kind of cool.
It's almost like they're high-fiving
it
when
is.
They do it.
It works for them, but it's like it also looked kind of painful as well. Yeah. There's the lunatic lariat from Wilson. And Butch catches Wilson with a roll up. Butch then breaks Kit's fingers. Bitter end, except the bitter end he kind of twisted so he landed on his back.
It's like a bitter Russian side leg sweep thing.
And then John, sorry, who's John? Oh, I think that's Elton.
Elton John.
Elton John puts the foot on the ropes. The timing was a bit. The positioning was all a bit weird here because they were close to the ropes, but then the ref was kind of in the way, so he jumped over. And then Prince decides to go to hit the ref to get DQ'd, but the referee ducks. And then there's the pounce from Ridge, sending Kit out of the ring. And then the sidewalk slam kind of kick combo that Dunn and Ridge
like
have been doing.
Emerald Flosion almost, yeah.
Yeah. And this Ridge goes for the pin.
This was really awkward.
Yeah, so it's he goes for the pin and
they
then
got
just
him.
Stops.
Yeah, they got him. They hit their double team move, the move they've pinned people with before, and then Ridge goes to pin, and then Pete like tells him something. So Ridge looks, gets up, and then goes to pin again, and then oh no, someone's interfering, and it's Imperium. So it was just like what?
Yeah, it was like, because really we off. Didn't see Imperium running in, we just see Ridge kind of look up and look at them.
And then go back and then forget again. It was just a little all over the place.
The timing was definitely off at the end here. So Imperium come out late for the save, causing the distraction, allowing Pretty Deadly to hit Spilt Milk to retain
there. Because Ridge just looks like a geek, not pinning the guy.
Yeah.
Because they weren't even nowhere near. They would be champions right now.
Yeah, I'd be like, all right, you're going to beat me up. I'm still going for the pin.
Or attack me and we'll win and get the win over these guys anyways. So it was just really weird that was the finish.
Yeah, a little messy at the end, both with the foot on the ropes and this finish here, unfortunately.
Still had some cool stuff,
I will say. It was one of the better Pretty Deadly matches.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably the best match on this show. There was a lot of short squash shit matches on this show, and this one had some fun stuff. I know he goes by Butch, but he'll always be Pete Dunne to me. And he is still fantastic. Yeah. I miss watching his wrestling, and I got to tune in for that six-man Donnybrook at Extreme Rules. But this had some really good wrestling, and I think after not seeing Ridge for quite a while, because he was someone we watched briefly in NXT, he has also improved.
I like this team of the three of them. I think starting to get away from the dog stuff of Dunne, which they have been doing, and have him talking a bit more, I think they actually work together. Ridge is a powerhouse, and he has that, I guess, from like his rugby background, that like explosive like strength. Like, he's not a slow guy at all. Sheamus has been killing it, I think. And Butch is Dunne is fantastic. So I like them as a team. This was definitely the best match on the show. I was really disappointed though on this show. I thought this was the show to make a bit of a statement.
Yeah.
We've seen it on Raw. We've seen it on SmackDown where they've, you know, done bigger matches. I know this is still developmental, and you are going to get those shorter, weaker matches. But it's about balancing it, and I think starting with the stupid Commonwealth segment, and then just there was just some bad matches on this show.
Yeah, this was not the episode we were all
hoping for
with this. Oh, maybe they'll change. They got yellow and gold and orange in their logo now. Wow. No, it wasn't like that at all. It was still the same kind of show we've been watching. It wasn't a good episode to kind of kick off that, if that is a thing, with this whole change. But it's still, the highlights were kind of advancing towards, at least Halloween Havoc is not just a Tuesday special. It's a Saturday premium live event. And they're treating it as such. And Halloween Havoc is always such a fun show. Not even, like, I'm saying throughout history of wrestling, but even just since NXT has taken it back, they've been really fun and enjoyable to watch. So you already have my attention for that Saturday. But I'd say that the best part of this was the Dragunov video, because that definitely made him seem like such a big deal. But a lot of the stuff on this show, like, we didn't sound too negative, I hope, but it really did not breeze by. It was this was a tough NXT watch for me tonight, but it didn't make me swear as much as usual. So that's always a plus.
At the end, Idris and Malik and Briggs and Jensen came out to kind of stare down Pretty Deadly. I don't know if that gets added.
I guess it's Havoc, a three-way,
But Halloween Havoc's looking like, I think they might do more than the five matches. Yeah, perhaps,
there's four announced right now.
There's four announced. I could see them adding.
You could add the tag title match and the women's tag title match.
I mean, it being a premium live event, they can go as long as they want.
Yeah.
So maybe add a couple more to not make it feel like it's just a TV special.
Yeah. But yeah, that was NXT. That's what we thought about it. It wasn't the best, but it was all right.
It was okay. Shall we see what our NXT friends thought about it?
Yeah, I see one here from Giancarlo who writes in, RIP Coolio. Yes. I think we said that last week. But I mean, hey, rip,
I can't. So many people Coolio. Die these days. And then
people dying, people getting born every day.
And we go to Magan, who says, when Waller announced the pick your poison stipulations for Cora and Roxanne, he included the whole roster, including the red and blue brands. It hit me that Dynamite will be counter-programming NXT in 2 weeks instead of the other way round. The chances of someone like Bayley or Liv Morgan appearing are pretty damn high. Toxic Attraction's days are numbered, and the new color scheme is a big improvement.
Yes, no more rainbow and orange. That's all we got now. Don't have to change anything else.
I can't see NXT trying to really counter-program now. I think they're going to just stick with what they're doing. I think if we do have main roster people, it's going to be more like your Doudrops.
You really wanted a counter program, you do 2-hour version of lashing out with Lash Legend and Grayson Waller.
Yeah.
2 hours plus. That would work.
Or just Grayson Waller reading out Sammy Guevara's tweets on
pretty good.
Yeah.
While on Instagram Live. Yeah. That's where wrestlers cut promos these days.
He doesn't have any eyes anymore.
Oh, no. How is he going to tweet if he can't read? Bless him. That was NXT. Thanks, guys, for listening and checking us out. We hope you enjoyed hanging with us wherever you may be. You'll be back tomorrow night with BD Elite with Dickie Bird chatting all about Dynamite.
Time not confirmed, as I believe they've got the overrun.
Yeah.
Last time AEW had the overrun was the huge debut of Satnam Singh.
Who?
So I can't wait to see what they've got in store tomorrow. But Dickie and I will be going live on Twitch about, like, 5 minutes after the show ends.
Right.
So join us there, twitch.tv/upnextpodcast and youtube.com/upnext.
Yeah, hey, follow the socials at upnextpodcast on Twitter for all the updates of where we will be next week in the six. If you are going to Dynamite or Rampage, we will be about in our city because this is our city. We run the six, and we're hoping to meet some listeners and chat with some people and have some fun and some bevies and all that jazz. So let us know if you're making your way and you want to link up, because we're friendly. We don't bite that hard. We're all right. At the Bray D on Twitter and Instagram is where you can find me.
And you can find me at Davey Portman.
That's it. That's all. Patreon.com/upnext. $5 is all it takes to be a North American champion to get access to over 450 podcasts, movie reviews, retro wrestling reviews, all that stuff. Go check it out and support the BDE. We love you. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe.
Ahoy! Oh,